Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Have a big bill to pay caught without your wallet? Most places accept plastic. Everywhere accepts dollars as payment. But if you are caught without plastic or cash, if you have a stash of weapons in your trunk, it's not an exaggeration to say that with the proliferation of the arms trade in the 20th century, just about everywhere takes guns as money.
Lockheed Martin, Boeing, DynCorp International, Computer Sciences Corporation, and AeroVironment all told Eric about 70 companies are interested in this $1 billion contract.
As we look out 3, 5, 7, 10 years, this market remains a very much a growth market.
The Obama administration wants to sell bunker buster bombs, which can penetrate 20 feet of solid concrete, to the UAE.
Another U.S. arms deal with Saudi Arabia is in the pipeline, the biggest in history.
The Tribeca Film Festival is premiering a film next week called Shadow World, filled with some of those familiar names and some very unfamiliar voices. It's fair to say that the scale and influence of the global arms trade has never in one place been conveyed so powerfully. Andrew Feinstein started by writing a book on the arms trade when he was a politician in South Africa, a member of the ANC under Nelson Mandela. The effect of a $10 billion arms deal made by his party on the future of his country, though, changed him forever.
It was an example of my own leadership being prepared to undermine the institutions of our hard-won democracy that many of them had fought so bravely for in order to protect themselves and to protect the corruption that was going on. So I became interested in whether South Africa was unique or whether this was something that was happening globally. And unfortunately, what I discovered is that this is all too common globally.
And I think one of the things that every American should know is that what is not a secret is that the U.S. is the biggest arms supplier in the world. And that as you portray in this film, the modalities and the style and the many of the institutions of the production of the arms trade are products of post-war America. Let's listen. Ricardo Privatero, who's an arms dealer in Europe.
The politics is dictated by the whims of the arms industry. Politicians are nothing more than sales reps, my dear friend. They have as much power as a middle-ranking executive in Lockheed Martin. At the end of the day, they do what they're told.
Lockheed Martin, a very important American defense contractor that's not only deeply involved in American politics, but involved in conflicts all over the world. The 20th century is a story of the growth of the arms trade in your country, but particularly directed by the United States. How do you tell that story in this film?
What we do is we show how the manufacture of weapons in the United States and the export of those weapons, as you say, virtually everywhere in the world, is completely intertwined with economic and political interests. So there is huge money to be made in this industry, both legal and illicit money. And what we do in the film is we take it from Smedley Butler through the Thatcher-Reagan revolution, because the deregulation of our financial systems was extremely important in effectively allowing these companies to operate as they want to, with virtually no meaningful regulation.
And the traditional sort of left-wing view of what your argument is would be, gosh, we're spending way too much on defense. We should be spending more on social programs. But in fact, this is a different argument. You're saying that the economy has become, in fact, the arms trade.
The national security elite today is mostly composed of people who hit the revolving door multiple times during their life.
The nomination of Richard B. Cheney to be Secretary of Defense is confirmed.
They make a name for themselves in the private industry, and then they come into the government. In essence, we in the United States have privatized the ultimate public function, war.
Now, who is that? Lawrence Wilkerson, U.S. Army colonel, retired. Is he a wacko, fringy, lefty?
This guy comes from a hardcore Republican background where he still locates himself, and he argues very strongly that there is an elite of business people and politicians who effectively drive this trade in weapons, drive this trade in the making of war, which has become, as he says, a privatized industry. for their own benefit, for their own ends. And if one looks at the detail of this trade as we reveal in the film, it's not just a matter of all of this money going into war. An enormous amount of this money is misspent. On the arms deals that I've investigated, bearing in mind that this trade accounts for 40% of all corruption in all world trade, anywhere between 10 and 35% of the money being paid out by governments goes into the payment of bribes.
We're talking with Andrew Feinstein, whose film Shadow World, based on his book, premieres at the Tribeca Film Festival next week. You've looked at this globally. Why would it be the case that arms serve this function? Wouldn't it be just as likely that medicine would serve this function? It's essential that food would serve this function. I mean, it sort of does, I suppose, ultimately.
Pharmaceuticals, food, various other commodities generally play a positive role in our societies. Weapons do not. Weapons are a necessity because of the nature of the world we live in. They are not, I believe, something that if we lived in a peaceful world, which unfortunately we don't, we would need. We could actually do without them. That's the first thing. The second crucial thing, by comparison to the other industries you mentioned, is that the manufacture and the trade in weapons is largely unregulated. So we have a situation in the world where the trade in bananas is more heavily regulated than the trade in weapons. Now, the reality is that weapons are a hell of a lot more dangerous than bananas. So I think that's what sets this industry apart, first of all, the fact that it's underregulated, and it's willfully underregulated. It is, again, what Wilkerson describes as the national security elite. It is this amalgamation of politicians, of business people, and of military people who ensure that the industry is located where and how it is. So this is not something that is happening per chance. This is something that is organized, not in some form of conspiracy or something, but this is something that is organized during the regular conduct of politics, of military activity, of foreign policy, and crucially of business. And what it does is it reflects to me as a former politician, a former banker, the nexus, the intersection between business and politics that is extremely damaging to both. And that's part of the reason why we've made this film. It's part of the reason why myself and my team have such a fascination with this industry, because it has an enormous impact on the way we live, on the way we die, on the way we're governed, on the way our tax dollars are spent. So it's crucial to so much of our existence, but most people don't pay attention to it. It's very, very difficult to get at the information that lies underneath this very secretive trade. And what you find out isn't particularly comfortable.
Andrew Feinstein is a former South African politician and the author of Shadow World, Inside the Global Arms Trade. The film, based on his book, premieres at the Tribeca Film Festival. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.